There are no commandments yet that were that the Lord had given to his people, except for one. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you know, with God, there's always a blessing and then there's a warning. And so that's why he gave us a free will. He's always giving us a choice. You know, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for you will certainly die. And so you can see a little glimpse of what God's intention was from the very beginning. He always wanted to bless man with life. It was never to condemn us with death. It was always to give us life. And so, you know, when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, his eyes were indeed open. It's true. But unfortunately, because of this, we no longer have an excuse for sinning. Well, I should say we no longer have a good excuse for sinning. You know, we're always coming up with excuses. You know, just like the woman made me do it. No, but the point I'm trying to make is about another truth. There's no good in man. There's no good in any of us. You know, and I can say this because I can testify about myself. You know, I'm just talking about this from my own personal experience. And even when we try to be good, we still fail. And I joke around sometimes, and I say this, and I don't mean it to be flippant, but do you know who some of the best sinners are in this world? It's Christians. We're the best sinners. The reason why is because even after we're baptized and we're saved, we still sin. But the thing is, we fully admit it. We are absolutely willing to say, I'm a sinner. You know, and I know I said that we were done talking about lies, but I just want to touch on one more point on that, is that, you know, the world wants us to believe that the only people who go to church are just righteous people. You know, when they find out that people like you and I, that sinners like you and I go to church, they're always like, wait, what? You go to church? Are you kidding me? So what, are you like a holy person now? And, you know, I just tell them, I go to church because I'm lost, not because I know the way. And it's because it's the sick that need a doctor, not the healthy. So if any of you guys are questioning, you know, whether to get baptized or to believe, and you guys are worried that, well, you know, I might fail and I might sin right after I commit my life to Jesus. Well, don't worry, because you will. You know, but that's the good part of it. You know, the whole good news is that he came to pray our Lord Jesus came to pay the price for our sins. And it's not about our past sins. It's not about our present sins, but it's about everything that we've done in the past, everything that we're thinking about now, and the things that we'll, all the sins that we'll commit in the future. We don't want to do it, but it's just part of our flesh. It just happens. But that's the great news, is that he came to cover all of that. And so that leads me to the next truth. You know, when we chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we also chose the penalty of death. You know, in other words, we became aware of the law. And what I mean by that is, you know, when God gave Adam the choice between the tree of life or the knowledge of good and evil, he also gave him a warning at the end of it. He said, if you eat from it, you will surely die. And so when Adam chose to eat of that fruit, he was saying, I accept that responsibility. I accept the consequences. And And it was, and we do this every single day of our lives. We always have a choice on whether we want to accept that consequence or not. And so to illustrate it illustrate it differently, do any of you guys have any little brothers or sisters? Yeah, okay, good. So this will really hit home. So have you guys ever noticed that when they were growing up, just right around when they're about like 2 years old, they start acting up, and you can see that all of a sudden they're, what used to be really nice and obedient, all of a sudden they start to turn really naughty. Well, they call this the terrible twos. And it's during this time when kids are starting to be aware, they know, they understand yes and no. They understand all the rules. They know what their parents want them to do and don't want them to do. You know, but it's also during this time that they start to test them, right? They're starting to figure out, how far can I go without getting in trouble? I know I'm not supposed to eat any of this candy right now. But maybe if I just took a little bit, maybe nobody will notice. You know, and that trait is still in us today. We're born with it. You know, I know I'm not supposed to do this or that. And I know that there's a punishment if I do. And I accept that. I just hope I don't get caught. And so when the serpent told Eve, you will surely not die, he was telling a half truth. You know, we know that Adam and Eve's bodies, their physical bodies, they didn't die immediately. They actually they ended up living until they were 930 years old. But something else did die that day. You know, they were immediately cut off from the garden. And so they no longer had access to the tree of life. And the place that they walked with God in the cool of the day, they were cut off from all of that. And they could no longer hear the plans that God had for him. And he couldn't tell God the plans that he had for himself to see if they aligned or not. All of that was cut off. And so our physical bodies are still alive, but our spirit is dead. You know, we talk a lot about this at Alhambra with the youth, is that there, this idea of death, you know, it's easy for us to think of physical death, but one of the things I want you guys to think about is there is this concept, there is this thing called a spiritual death. And it's when we're cut off from our God, when there's no more communication going back and forth. And so when this happens, this is when we start questioning our purpose in life, because we no longer have this connection with the Creator. We don't know why we were created. And almost every single religion out there, it's out there to teach us how to find peace in this world, how to find peace with God. And the teaching is just be a good person. No, but no matter how hard we try, we always end up sinning, because it's just in our nature. And once we do that, we start to feel disappointed in ourselves, and we start feeling depressed, and we feel all this guilt and shame. And this is where the difference is between religion and Christianity. You know, the world sees religion as a way to teach people how to be morally good. But Christians, we're people that say, there is no good in me. I'm lost. And I just want to get back on the way. You know, I want to tell you guys about a story in the book of John. I think most of you guys have probably heard this. But there was it's a story about a man that was a cripple. He was an invalid for 38 years. And he had been waiting at the pool at Bethesda for, along with all the other disabled people there, all the lame, all the blind, all the deaf. You know, and the tradition is that every now and then the angel of God would come down to the pool and swipe his hand through the pool to cause ripples through it. And when he did that, the first person that jumped into the pool, they would be healed of their disease. And so imagine this guy, right? He's been crippled in some way. We don't know exactly how, but he made his journey to the same pool every day for his entire life. Well, we don't know if it was every single day, but the Bible at least tells us that it was at least every single Sabbath. And so when he gets there, he's not allowed to go into the temple because of his defect. So instead, he goes next door to the pool and he's waiting for his turn to get healed. But for 38 years, it never happens. Year after year, he is going to the same place and nothing is happening. And it seems like everybody else is getting their turn instead of him. Can you imagine how depressed this man must have felt? And you could almost hear it in his response. You know, when the Lord asked him, "Don't you want to get healed?" His response was not a normal yes and no answer. You know, when most people saw Jesus, they came running because they knew he was the healer. You know, I know if you just say the words, my servant at home will be healed. Or if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I will be made whole. This was the normal reaction of the people around Jesus, but with this crippled man, his response was almost as if he lost all hope. There was no more excitement in his voice. Now we know that this man, he didn't know that this was Jesus. So let's give him credit for that. But his response was almost sarcastic. You know, he told him, "Of course I want to get well. You know, every single time I see the movement in the water, there's nobody here to help me. I've got to get down into the water by myself. And by the time I get in, somebody else has jumped ahead of me." And so Jesus told him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once that man was cured. And it's so interesting to me because, you know, Mari and I, we've read this. We're actually reading the book of John with the high school group in back at Alhambra right now. And one of the things that we noticed that was so evident was the first place that this man goes after he's healed is he goes to the temple. And it's so interesting because I think this is what Jesus meant by all the scriptures testify about me. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the reason why I'm saying this is let's examine the scriptures for just a second. And so John, if you could pull up the next slide, I want to turn to the book of Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 21. And so now at this point in time, all the laws are in effect, right? There's a whole book of laws. And in fact, there's a book specific to the laws for the Levites. And this is let's just stay there for a second. So if you guys can see this on the screen, it's Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 through 21, ironically. And it says, "Say to Aaron, for the generations to come, none of your descendants who has a defect may come near to offer the food of his God. No man who has any defect may come near. No man who is blind or lame, disfigured or deformed, any man with a crippled foot or hand, or who is a hunchback or dwarf, or who has an eye defect, or who has festering or running sores or damaged testicles. No descendant of Aaron, the priest, who has any defect is to come near to present the food offerings to the Lord. He has a defect. He must not come near to offer the food of his God. And so when you read this, And so when you read this, let's just leave this up. When you read this, you may think of all the physical deformities, right? You can see up there, he's talking about the blind. He's talking about the lame. He's talking about the crippled. But it's just not physical deformities. I mean, when you think about this, the way to read this is all of these are symbols of our sin. They're all defects of the sin that we have in our lives. And so when you think about this, it's so depressing, because if this is related to our sin, then who can come to the table? Who can come and worship our God? You know, it's when we decided to go our own way, this is what happened. This was the warning. This was the curse. And it's as if a wall came up between us. And it's blocked us from accessing the Father. You know, and day after day, we try to break down this wall. And we try to be a good person, but it doesn't seem to have any effect. You know, sin keeps creeping into our lives, whether we're trying or not. And we still lust after the things of our eyes. We still lust after the things of the flesh and for the pride of life. And it continues to separate us from our Creator. And sometimes we can lose all hope, just like this invalid, just like this cripple did at the pool. But like I said, this is not the end of the story. So now let's turn back to that verse that we read earlier. It's the passage in Matthew. Matthew 11, chapter 2 through 5. Go ahead, John. And so the reason why I wanted to put this up side by side is I wanted you guys to see the parallel as you're reading this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 5. So when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." And so do you see the contrast between the two passages? You know, on the one side, on the left side, you can read about all the different deformities and defects that we have about ourselves, all the things that are wrong with us. And now on this other side, we talk about the good news. All of these things we're now healed from, we're cured. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. Now all the dead in spirit are alive again. You see, Jesus is the one that broke down that wall. I've got some animation here, so I just wanted to. And he made a path. He made a path available to us, to our God the Father. And so all those deformities are gone now. They're all healed and they're all covered. And again, what I'm talking about is our sin. It's a sin that was born in us since day one. And so the curse of eating the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, all those penalties were paid. You know, there was always a plan from the beginning. The Lord knew that the enemy was, you could go ahead and stop sharing, John. The Lord knew that the enemy was setting us up for failure. But it's kind of like a chess game. You know, God was already thinking 4 or 5 moves ahead. You know, there was always a plan for Jesus to be the way back to paradise. And so he was to be the way for man and God to walk together again in the cool of the day. And that's been true since the beginning of time. And God did this because he loves you and me. He always had a plan to save us. He never abandoned us. You know, that's why it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. See, that's a truth that no one can ever take away from us. So when we talk about Jesus as the truth, you know, we see that there is a testimony from the very beginning of time. You know, he came to save a deceived world. And he came to restore man back to his creator. And when we say that Jesus is truth, it also speaks of his righteousness. You know, in First Peter, it says that he was describing Jesus. It says that he committed no sin. There's no deceit found in his mouth. Another way to say that is there was a transparency about him. You know, the things on the outside matched the things on the inside. He was never hiding anything. We always knew what he was about. And so when we examine our own lives, you know, we have to ask ourselves, are the things in my own life, are they also transparent? You know, do the things that we say match the things that we do? And so I want to challenge you guys a little bit and think about, do you guys live any different lives? And what I mean by that is do you guys have a church life that's separate from your school life? Or maybe you guys have a family life. Maybe there's a secret life that you guys have that you guys don't tell anybody about. You know, I told you guys yesterday that each one of these sessions, I'm also going to share a little bit about my own testimony. And so I wanted to let you guys know that even for myself, you know, there was a long period in my life after I was a Christian. Nobody knew about it. I didn't tell anybody. And I don't mean that, you know, my Christian friends didn't know about it. Like, of course, my Christian friends knew I was a Christian, but then my non-Christian friends had no idea. And the people at work didn't know. And this was all after I was baptized. And for a long time, I had separate circles of friends. You know, one that I could share the Lord with, and then another group that I didn't really want to talk about my Lord Jesus. And so when my friends or coworkers, when they would ask me, they would say, well, hey, Caleb, what'd you do this weekend? I'd always, you know, I'd be very nonchalant about it. And be like, oh, nothing, you know. Or I'd say, I just did chores this weekend. You know, one time I got really brave. I got really brave and I told them, I had a meeting to go to, right? And of course, one of them called me out. You know, one of my friends, he was like, a meeting? What do you mean a meeting? Are you talking about church? Just say it. If you went to church, just say it. And I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified. It was like time just froze for me. And I just stood there and I didn't know what to say. Because part of me was struggling with, well, yeah, that was the truth. But the other part of me was also like, you know, I kind of wanted to keep this separate. And so I started to backpedal and I told them, no, I had a meeting to go to. You don't even know. Like, you can have meetings outside of church. And so this was my life. this is how I had lived as a Christian for so long. And you know, I look back now, and it seems like such a small thing. But I just didn't want my friends to think of me differently. I didn't want them to think that I was judging them. Or worse, I didn't want them to judge me. And you know, there were years of me as a backsliding Christian, and years of me just denying that I knew the Lord. You know, well, I finally came to a realization. And you know, I had racked up so many years of basically saying I don't know him. And I told you yesterday that after I was baptized, you know, I had wandered my own way, but the whole time the Holy Spirit was still in me. And through years he was always whispering, recalculating. And finally, when I went back to the Lord, it was such a amazing time of grace for me. But this is what I meant by the realization is when I went back, the Lord could have easily just told me, I don't know you. But he didn't do that. He was always waiting there for me to come back. He was always waiting for me to repent. For the kingdom of God is near. You're so close, Caleb. You're so close. I just need you to turn around. Just stop. Stop the direction you're moving and turn around. You're almost there. The way is so close. And so it was at a point where I realized, you know what? I don't want to serve two masters anymore. And I didn't want two realities in my life. And don't get me wrong, this revelation didn't lead me to go out into the street corners with a megaphone and start preaching the gospel. You know, that's not me. And that's not what God requires of us. And I think our brother Mac, he had mentioned last night about a testimony of one of the brothers. He said that, you know, he preaches the gospel every single day of his life. And some days he uses words. And what he was talking about is the gospel that lives in us is our life. And it's not what we say. It's not about being up here. It's about what we do on a daily basis. And so when I got to that point, I just need to be honest about myself. And I needed to just understand what it is I truly wanted in life at that point. And so I told the Lord, I'm a sinner. But I want to love the Lord with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I don't always do it, but I want to. Oh, and by the way, I go to church on Sundays. And so that was the Lord restoring me. And the thing is, you know, when I do go to church, it's not because I want to. And I guess this was the hardest part to try to explain to my friends. It wasn't some obligation, because I think a lot of people feel that way. It's like, well, you know, I go to church because my parents drag me, or I go to church because I feel like I have to because of all the bad stuff I've done during the week. But going to church was no longer an obligation. It was just a way for me to find my way back home. And my Lord never said, you can't come this way because I don't know you. Instead, he always said, you are always welcome, no matter what happened. You always have a way through me. And so I want to close with reading that last verse in Deuteronomy. So John, if you could just pull up that slide again, I'm sorry. I thought that was the last one. But it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, We read it earlier at the beginning of the meeting. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I thought the font would be big enough, but it looked bigger on my computer screen when it was in front of me. But it says, "For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in the heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into the heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." So sometimes this verse is in, I purposely chose a New King James Version because it's a little bit harder to read. and I don't know if you guys realize what this verse is trying to say, but this verse is trying to say, the things that I want for you, it is not some big, grandiose, heavenly theology that nobody can understand. It's not something where you have to send some messenger into heaven to grasp it and bring it down to explain it to us. It's not something where you got to go across the sea to go get and explain to us. It's talking about a commandment. Do you know which commandment that God was talking about? So what's the greatest commandment of all? So John, go ahead and hit the next one there. And let's read in Matthew chapter 22. You guys know the story. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 and 37, it says, "Teacher," it was a Pharisee that had come to Jesus asking him a question. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment and the first." And so this idea of what God wants for us is not a complicated thing. You know, sometimes we think that we go to these conferences or we go to church on Sundays and we listen to these messages from Brother Mac or Brother Sun. And sometimes we think, oh gosh, these ideas or these concepts are so complicated. It's not. It's so simple. The only thing he wants from us is to love him. And he wants the same thing for us. He wants to love us too. And you don't need to go to some far off distant place to try to figure out that message. It's so close to us. It's near to us. It's in our mouths. You guys have heard all of these verses all you're growing up in Sunday school. None of this is new to you. Jesus is the truth. And so, are we willing to follow his example? Are we willing to be transparent in our own lives? Now, I want you guys to ask a question for yourselves. If we were transparent, what would the Lord find in us? So before we close, I want to sing a song with you guys. And oh, awesome. Thank you. And so sometimes, actually, John, can I have you turn that around so I can see the lyrics in the chorus?
Does this?
Or that works. That works. Yeah.
Is it too low?
No. That's cool. Yeah. You know, sometimes we sing these songs that we grew up in Sunday school, and they're a lot of them are like we think they're like children's songs, right? But actually, you know, what I love about singing some of these older hymns and some of these songs that we grew up with is if you read the words, you know, the words are exactly what we've been talking about yesterday and today, and what Brother Mac has been talking about. I haven't had a chance to listen to Brother Sun's messages yet, but I'm sure from what we've heard so far, everything is about the same thing. You know, it's about declaring how much Jesus loves us. And sometimes it's so easy to forget that simple fact. And it's a fact that nobody can take away from us. And when you get to the last line, it says, and I will henceforth live for thee. And so that's our response on, okay, so we know that Jesus loves us, but what's our response back to him? And so anyway, I wanted to share the song with you guys. I know you guys probably know the song from Sunday school, but let me see if I can play this with a little bit more of a contemporary tempo. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me. Jesus loves me, this I know. He who died, I'm sorry. Jesus loves me, he who died. Heaven's gates to open wide, he will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Lord, we know that there is a truth that no one can take away from us. And it is the fact that you love your people and you've always wanted to bless us. And so, Lord, we pray that our response today that we want to love you too, and that we want to be transparent with you. You know, there's no more hidden things in our lives that we are holding back from you, but we want you to have it all. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, because we're sometimes weak, and sometimes we just go the easy way. But Lord, we want your life in us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless us, and we want to follow you. Lord, thank you for just being always being patient with us, being so loving to a people that are always wandering. But we know that you're on the sideline, just waiting for us to stop and turn around, because you're so close to us. and you've never left our side. You have never abandoned us, Lord, and we love you for that. So we put all these things into your hands. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to use the Spirit to work these words into our lives and for us to finally tell you that we love you too. In my Lord Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
So I want to thank our brother Caleb. Yes, just give us a couple minutes here. So I just want to thank our brother Caleb for sharing today. I think one thing just want to highlight is that our brother touched on something that I think is, I think any of us that have been Christians, we know what it feels like to live, to have a fear of being transparent and of living separate lives. It's something that you don't figure out even when you're, you know, you get older, and it's just a trial every day. And so I just want to share one thing really just small. Those of you know that on Zoom, now you can see your name. And I was in a meeting with, when Brother Kill was talking, I remember being in a meeting with my I was presenting to my boss's boss. And it was like, there are a lot of people in there. And then I was presenting, and about 75% of the way through, I get a ping from one of my friends who's the lowest member in that meeting. And he says, "Hey, John, you should probably think about changing the name on your Zoom account." And lo and behold, like the weekend before, I was doing IT for Peninsula Church in Christ, and it just said Peninsula Church in Christ the entire time on my Zoom account. I just wanted to say, I was like, I don't think mortified is probably the right word, but quite embarrassed. And then I remember thinking to myself, why am I embarrassed? You know, why should I be embarrassed that it says Peninsula Church in Christ? And anyways, I just want brothers and sisters to know that, you know, when you get to above 40, this is still a challenge that we live in this world. And to fit into this world is such a strong pull, you know? And so we're all learning from each other. I just wanted to share that because I know a lot of people were calling me yesterday. They're saying, "Oh, Uncle John, I really appreciate that." But I just also want you guys to know that Caleb and I, you know, you say uncle and I turn around and I look for my father. Kind of thing. But I just want you to know, Caleb and I hope I can speak for you, brother. But we're all brothers and sisters here, and we're all learning, and the challenges that you're facing, we're still facing, we're just all learning together. And as I shared in morning devotion today, guys, the Lord is coming back soon. The amount of days that you have left on this earth are exactly the same number of days I have on this earth. The same as my son, Silas, who's 8 years old, the same number of days he has left on earth. We're just all just trying to learn the Lord together, to teach one another. And I learned so much from each every one of you guys as well. So it's cool if you're comfortable calling me uncle. That's cool with me. I'm totally cool. But I just want to be a brother, and we're all the same. We're all just trying to learn. So thank you, Caleb, for just being so vulnerable and honest. I've known our brother for a long time, and I think one thing that he and I both have in common is that we're both wanderers, you know. And the Lord has saved us both. We've both gone our own way. Lord brought us back. Gone our own way. Keep bringing us back. And the Lord's not done with us yet. And the Lord's not done with any of us yet. So thank you, brother. With that, we're going to close our meeting. But I would just ask that those that are online, if you can kind of hang out online, that would be awesome, because we've got some cool activities. And we would love for you to just be a part of it and get to know one another. And for those that are in person, we're going to